Welcome to the Innate Vitality Code podcast, your source of science-backed information and inspiration on holistic healing, building resilience, trauma recovery, and self-love. I'm your host, Dr. Andrea Pennington. I'm an integrative physician, acupuncturist, and positive psychology neuroscience nerd. For over 20 years, I've been healing and teaching in my wellness practice, in the media, on stages, and around the world, as part of my soul's mission to end suffering and raise the consciousness on the planet. This podcast does not provide medical advice or psychotherapy. Consult your healthcare provider before implementing what you hear on this show. Hi there, my name is Dr. Andrea Pennington. I'm part of a team of heart-centered professionals who believe that you have the innate potential, the wisdom, and the power to thrive in optimal well-being, ageless vitality, and joy. We are sick and tired of the outdated medical establishment and pharmaceutical industry distorting the truth about what it takes to live healthy. It's time to debunk the myths and expose the lies about what really cures disease. Our mission is to empower you to reclaim control over your life and well-being, renew your health, vitality, and happiness, and make a difference in the world by using your life force energy for the benefit of those you care about. We are Innate Vitality. So, Karen Joy, it's so wonderful to connect with you. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, for me personally, it is amazing to see you so vibrant, so alive, so full of vitality. Because when I met you, what was it, 13 years ago?
I think so.
Were in really tough shape, weren't you?
I was.
Like when I met you, I think you were already dealing with Lyme disease and multiple chemical sensitivities, all sorts of things. So take me back to then, and maybe that wasn't even your sickest point, but tell me a little bit about your health history.
So my health history is pretty complex. And so to kind of, you know, narrow it down into a nutshell, I had many symptoms that were not very well explained in our traditional medical model. I went to doctor after doctor, trying to find out why I was exhausted, why I had, you know, pain, why I couldn't sleep. And I was running into a lot of trouble finding out what that was. And being a nurse, for me, my chosen profession in my mind at the time was letting me down because I was working so hard and, oh my goodness, do I really need help? But I couldn't find it. And so at the time that I sought you out, I was addicted to fentanyl. And it had become very apparent to me that that was part of my problem, is that I needed to get off the pain medication and I needed to get some of the 30-something pharmaceutical drugs that I was taking at the time out of my system. And so I went to you for acupuncture, and we did the auricular acupuncture to help detox me. And actually for me, getting off of the narcotics was a fairly easy process going through that. So that was sort of the beginning of my journey to whole being health, was realizing that the things that I was doing were not serving my overall health. And it was just treating symptom after symptom and causing symptom after symptom as well.
Wow. And one of the things that has struck me over the years, because you met me before I moved to France, then I moved to France and we connected on social media. And the thing that shocked me was, week after week, I was seeing these posts by you on social media that were funny, positive, and I just remember thinking, oh my God, how does she have anything in her after being as sick as you were when I left? My heart was going out to you. I mean, like, seriously, I felt bad for you and for your children, and, you know, it was like, my heart was just really going out to you. So when I saw how much positivity you were radiating on social media, I was shocked. So how did you keep your mental state so happy and upbeat, considering that you'd been on so many medications, you'd been searching for diagnoses, when most people, I mean, I always say, if it were me, I would have just been under the covers crying my eyes out.
That's a really good question. How did I do that? There's a lot that sort of went into the development of that. That wasn't always the truth during the illness. For me, there was a cycle of hope and despair. Every time something new that I tried, I would feel very let down. And so before I got to the stage where I was able to be positive, I had to do sort of that little thing that sometimes people tell you to do, which is fake it till you make it. And I began to learn a little bit about the neuroplasticity in the brain and how traumas from our childhood, certain events, can almost give us a PTSD-like response when we have a similar event that has nothing to do with that event way back then. And what I found is that during the course of this treatment, the things that were causing that issue for me had nothing to do with the actual illness, part of what was going on. There were things that were underlying the physical illness for me. And in terms of the positivity, I began to realize that what I was thinking was probably creating my reality. Mm. And in the book that we did together, Time to Rise, I talk a little bit about how where I went in my head. Yeah. I was not suicidal, but I did pray for an exit. I wanted out. And the whole period of time around my cancer diagnosis was both heartbreaking and funny and sad and ridiculous, and I thought for sure it was my exit, and it wasn't. And that was the wake-up call for me. So for me, that was my call to action. The action began with very simple things that had nothing to do with what was causing, well, I shouldn't say what was causing, but what we thought the illness was. What it had to do with, for me, was changing my mind, changing my thinking. And even if I couldn't change the thinking, I did this little thing where I didn't allow myself to say anything that wasn't positive without ending it. So, for instance, if I woke up and I had pain, that was true. So I had always rationalized and said, well, if I have pain, I'm going to say it. I'm not going to lie. But I just did this one little thing where I would say, oh, my spine is just hurting so bad today, but I can't wait until it doesn't. Because I had no proof that it was not ever going to be without pain. I mean, many doctors had said to me, you're going to have to learn to live with this. This is, you know, you have neurological damage. This is where you're going to be. And so it kind of was this organic process for me. And the more I did that, the more I realized that emotionally I was more stable. And the more emotionally stable I became, the more clear I was able to think. And then I realized that people were responding differently to me as well.
Tell me about that.
Well, so, you know, you lose your friends sometimes when the only conversation you're able to have is about you and your suffering and your illness and your challenges. And, you know, when you're in it, it's hurtful. You feel like you're being abandoned. You feel isolated. But once you get out of it, you begin to realize that people can only take so much because they love you and they want to help you. But if you can't help yourself, they certainly cannot help you. And it's the same thing with families. So I learned that when I, even if I was having pain, if I could joke, use some humor, I could talk about how different it is going to be. I could talk about what I was doing to change it. So like coming to the table with, you know, a solution rather than the problem. All of a sudden, like-minded people and people with illness started contacting me and going, if you're that sick, how are you doing this? How are you getting through it?
Exactly.
And that's what sort of started me on this journey I'm on, is I started years ago working with other people who were going through similar things and not getting traction with their health.
Right. So now in your work as an advocate, you're really consulting with patients. Mm-hmm. You're also consulting with healthcare providers like dentists, like functional medicine practitioners, so that you're helping them understand how each of them speaks and how to get the most out of treatment plans and make sense out of it all. Because one of the things you mentioned to me was, with all the toxicities, with all the pain, with all the illnesses, it really gets you into a state where you're not thinking clearly. And if you do get a doctor on the phone and you're trying to tell them everything, but it's, you get you kind of cloudy brain and you can't necessarily get everything across to them, right?
That's correct. I mean, you know, one of the things that I find with people who are in the situation that I'm in and they haven't been able to get any traction, and they've been to doctor after doctor, many times they become frustrated with the doctors. Yeah. But having been a nurse, I also have to recognize that even in that model, even though that's not my philosophy of healing, unless you have a catastrophic illness anymore, the doctors are doing what they were taught. They were doing what the system and the industry has designed for them to do. Yeah. And they don't have time to do the in-between. And the in-between is that period of time between appointment to appointment when the patient has a direction from whatever they get from that doctor. But let's just say that one of those directions is if you have diabetes and you need to change your diet. That's pretty easy to tell somebody, and they hand you a handout, and they're like, eat these foods. But if this is not your normal diet, if it's not what's in your cabinet, in your refrigerator, if it's not been on your list for shopping, it's very difficult if you don't understand that you have to remove that. But the key is to replace it with the thing that does work for you, not what somebody else says you have to do, but what can you find that will work for you. And so what I felt was a huge gap for me in care is I didn't have an advocate. I didn't have someone to coach me through that process who had already been through it and understood a little bit about medicine and could also kind of have a little tough love with me too and say, hey, what do you want? Do you want it bad enough? If you want health, here, this beet might taste like dirt for a little while, but I promise you after 10, 20 times of trying it, it's going to taste very sweet, which is the truth. I did not believe it. But now when I'm drinking my herbs that taste like roots and dirt, and other people are like, no way, I can't. I'm like, really? You can do it. You can do it. So food, when I would have foods that did not resonate with me so much, I would think of them as medicine. Mm-hmm. And my tastes completely changed. So for me, that is how sort of I approach the in-between. Whatever you have to change, it's got to be something that you can work through. You need support from an outside resource. Your family needs to be on board. And if they're not, you need to be strong enough to go, okay, if you guys don't want to buy it, that's fine with me. But I'm the one who's sick. I don't want to be sick anymore. And so I think that in-between time is critical to healing. And in my mind, there's three levels. We typically think of illness only on the physical level, unless we have a mental illness. But I believe that there are hiccups that happen in both our spiritual and psycho-emotional lives. And they happen early on in life. And I think those hiccups over time can sort of step down into the physical body.
Like,
so
it almost predisposes us, or it sets us up for later in life when other insults or hits or illnesses come.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, when we think about the standard American diet, all of the chemicals that we put on, in, and around our body, those types of things set us up. And then we have a life event or a surgery or an illness or something that just completely depletes our immune system. And our most immune systems are partially depleted anyway because the immune system is housed in the gut.
Yeah.
And most of us do not have real healthy guts in this country. So it's like a perfect storm of things. And that's part of the problem with medicine, is trying to figure out what are all those things and what things do I need to change. And so, and most people, it's a task. It's work. It's not an easy thing to do once we've created these habits. And so, A, we have to want it. And B, we have to understand what all those things are and why we would need to change those. Because it's difficult to just have a doctor tell us we need to change something if we don't understand the reason we need to change it. And for me, that's where the patient education comes in. Patients need to be able to make an informed decision. They need to have some information about what's going on so they know what questions to ask. The providers don't have 2-3 hours to spend with you. So as a patient, you need to start to understand, what is it the doctor needs to hear?
Right.
What questions do you need to ask that doctor, and in what way to maximize your time and what you're going to get for your treatment plan? once you have your treatment plan, then in my mind, it's ideal to have a coach or an advocate working with that treatment plan, supporting that provider's treatment plan, but enhancing it by being the resource to either work with that patient or find other people who can work with that patient and that family during the appointment or between the appointments.
And so you mentioned that there are three levels that we're working on. So looking at the spiritual, the psycho-emotional, and the physical, right?
Mm-hmm.
What else? So you mentioned kind of looking back in life, even in your life, you were able to see that there were certain things that probably set you up for getting some of the illnesses. So how would somebody else out there who's probably got multiple diagnoses in the same kind of way, you know, the chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, probably these different toxicities or different infections, how does that help in the here and now when you feel like your whole body is just kind of falling apart on you?
Well, the thing that immediately comes to mind in my situation was two of my big triggers in life have been trust, you know, and betrayals.
Mm.
And I want to trust people. So I would trust the doctors. And then when I didn't get the results that they thought I would get, and typically now looking back, I can see it wasn't that they were necessarily doing something wrong, but because our medical model is so fragmented with different specialties, this person who was treating this part of my body didn't understand what this person was doing, and they weren't talking. And so I really got a little bit worse by doing that. So in the beginning, it was easy to project that onto the medical system. But after this cancer diagnosis and my call to stop looking at the external and start looking at the internal, once I got to that point, I began to realize, okay, so this is how I feel when this happens.
Mm.
Where is that feeling coming from? And over time, it took me all the way back to my childhood. And now I can very clearly see from a very young age how I was sort of set up for falling into that negativity when life didn't work out like I had been told life was supposed to work out.
Vitality Code Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend, rate the podcast, and subscribe. This helps me with getting my message out to a wider audience. For show notes and other episodes, visit innatevitality.com/podcast. That's vitality.com/podcast. You can also sign up for my free masterclass series. Each month, I take a deep dive into the topics of holistic healing, resilience, trauma recovery, and self-love. Just visit innatevitality.com.